Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And we are back, finally. I feel like it's been a while since we've done an episode. We had some, you know, days off and then, you know, a lull a little bit in guests. It's just like a weird time in Housewives world where, you know, Jersey's wrapping up, Atlanta's still at the beginning, and we're waiting for OC. But we do have a lot to talk about this week. I know you, Eric, you and I have sort of been discussing a little bit Jersey and Vanderpump, but we wanted to save a big chunk of our convo for this podcast episode. But before we get to that, we just want to tease that we did interview Brittany Cartwright, who, you know, obviously was Vanderpump Rules star for a few seasons. She's promoting, you know, a partnership with a swimwear line, but she did talk about Vanderpump Rules, and you know, she kind of teased that a few things about whether or not her and Jax might be returning to the show, how she feels about, you know, Scandoval. I know obviously her and Jax have talked about it a lot on their own podcast, as well as that like Peacock rewatch show. But I feel like she still was open and talked a little bit about things that we haven't heard before. So everyone should definitely stick around for that interview at the end of this, because, you know, she was definitely fun to chat with, and, you know, it's been a while since we've talked to her, or at least.
Yeah, Brittany was super fun to chat with. She did, give her thoughts on just what's going on in the world of Vanderpump, which is obviously a lot going on. She talked a little bit about what the future of TV looks like for her and Jax. I think she dropped a couple tidbits that I think you and I found interesting that, you know, the listeners will find interesting as well. So yeah, everyone's going to definitely want to hear that, because it was fun to have her on. It was good timing too, that worked out. She's promoting a bathing suit line, and obviously Vanderpump is so in the news, and you and I have been covering it like a ton lately, and yeah, the timing worked out great, and she was a joy to have on. She's such a Southern belle, so sweet.
And we do have a lot about Vanderpump Rules to talk about later in the episode.
Always.
But let's start with Atlanta, because we haven't talked a lot about that yet. Obviously we're several episodes in now. We're still at the beginning. The ladies are in Alabama, Birmingham specifically. Kenya planned this trip. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this season so far. I have my opinions and I will share them, but I want to know sort of how you feel so far this season. Are you liking it? Are you liking the cast, etc.?
Yeah, definitely a mixed bag for me. I feel like we started off really strong with like a really strong first episode. Everyone was kind of getting into the mix. Since then, I think that there's a couple flaws going on. One is that like every time there's something going on, somebody's missing.
I know.
Everyone's like always missing. So Drew was just absent from the first episode. Yeah. And obviously she's a very focal point of this season, given what we know with her, you know, her and Ralph end up breaking up. But then Candy didn't go on the trip. Correct me if I'm wrong. Candy and Drew both did not go on this Alabama trip. Yeah, so it's just, and then I think Sheree wasn't at the Drew and Candace for Potomac performance. So there's just been people missing the whole time, and I feel like really trying to shoehorn Courtney and Manetta, Courtney specifically, to kind of fill the gaps, which like, I don't know, like the Courtney in the mix is like not feeling authentic. It just feels like she's there to make an impact on each episode and like for her to be memorable, which like I guess she is pretty memorable. I mean, we're talking about her, so I guess she's doing something right, but like I don't know. I think that I've seen this kind of talk about Atlanta where like each person is good. Like I like Drew on the show, I like Candy, I like Sheree, like I like each individual, but something about like the vibe with the group just doesn't work. Like the dynamics like aren't intriguing, and it doesn't feel like how some of the other Housewives feels, where it's like a group of people that have a complex dynamic between them as individuals. Like it just feels like you just took a couple people and like threw them together and like the relationships aren't fleshed out enough yet. Yes. And like, this is only the second season with this specific group.
Yeah.
Obviously Sonya's new to the show. Marlo just, you know, got a peach last season. Sheree came back after she was gone for a few years. So Manietta and Courtney are both obviously new. So it just doesn't feel like the dynamics are fleshed out between all of the women. And I feel like we're still trying to get there, but I feel like the beginning of the season for most housewives can be a little bit slow. So I definitely like want to give it more time because I thought it started off really well. I just feel like we're in a little bit of a lag in the last maybe two episodes.
Yeah. I feel similar. I do think we need to give it more of a chance. I agree with that. We are at the beginning, probably about a quarter of the way into the season. Strong start. Now we're kind of in a, you know, I think the show overall is sort of missing a bit of star power. That's not to discredit Candy and Kenya. The problem with Candy and Kenya, who I feel are probably the biggest ones on the cast right now, as far as star power, I feel like they're kind of just like not giving us authentic, real stuff about their life. Like, I want to hear more about Kenya's marriage with Mark. I'm liking that she's like talking to someone and we're getting little glimpses of her talking to a new guy. I kind of want to see that play out. I'm not really here for the hair care storyline. Like, it'll be funny, but like, I don't know, it just feels recycled. And then Candy, you know, and this is something Marlo's brought up this season, is Candy's very strategic with what she talks about on camera and what she doesn't. I like the Todd family aspect that we're getting a little bit of in the beginning, you know, with them struggling, you know, to find time for each other. But again, that feels like stuff she's talked about before. Mm-hmm. It feels like a safe storyline. I feel like we lost a lot with the exits of Portia and Cynthia. You know, obviously
it's just not, it doesn't feel fresh or intriguing. Like, I just feel like anything that anyone's giving is not like that interesting. Like, there's no, not that every housewives needs a Jen Shah or an Erica Jane type scandal to like blow up the whole thing, but like, it just feel like I'm not intrigued by anything going on, whether like, I mean, the Sheree and Martell stuff is kind of interesting. It's like not juicy enough. Nothing is like that juicy. And honestly, it's kind of giving low budget. Like, what the hell is this trip to Birmingham? Exactly. Alabama, like,
yeah,
Birmingham, Alabama, like, it's just, even last season, the Blue Ridge, like, it's just not, it feels like it's so low bar. Mm-hmm. Everything is low bar about the show now. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have said that about Atlanta a couple of years ago. No. And yes, the cast has changed, but the cast changes in every franchise. So we can't completely hold that to the fire because that's the part of reality TV. OC has changed. New York has changed.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it goes. But it's just so low bar. It just feels like it's so B team.
Yeah, something's off. I mean, even episode 4, I saw the ratings and it's like, obviously you can't compare ratings to what they were a couple years ago. Like, no one watches TV as much anymore, but we're getting like 600,000 live viewers on Atlanta when, you know,
it's giving Dallas.
Yeah, it's giving Dallas. It's giving Dubai. It's not good. Like, it's not in a good spot. And even, you know, Jersey and Beverly Hills are pulling close to 1 million live viewers a week.
Yeah.
800 at the least, 800,000. So like 600,000 for Atlanta, that was the top housewife show for many, many, many years. It's not good. I don't think that this cast is going to stay the same next season unless something blows up
and it's
like completely wild and the ratings.
They're going to keep Drew. You know, they're keeping Drew. I actually, you know, I'm kind of like bummed that Drew hasn't been around enough.
I know.
I don't know if this is a hot take. I think she might be my favorite. I don't know if that's a hot take. If I'm looking at the cast, she might be my favorite.
Mine too.
I find myself very veered towards the Drew, Candy, Kenya people though, versus the Sonya, like Marlo. I mean, we taught her on the podcast recently. She's nothing. She's nothing but a sweetheart, but boy, is that woman trying hard.
I love
like, my God. I think she's trying hard, don't you?
Yeah, I love Marlo. There's no disrespect to her, but I've always felt, and I don't know if it's because she was a friend for so long, I don't feel like she's housewife. I feel like she's friend. And I just feel like she doesn't have, I don't know, like the depth story. I don't know. I just don't. Like, I'm not interested. Like, and I, like you said, I think she's trying too hard. It's like Courtney. It's just like the friend of energy that is like, oh my God, I want to be on camera. I want to get as much storyline, et cetera. But I just don't, I feel like Marlo's better as a friend. And I feel like some housewives are that way. And it's just, I think basically, it kind of sounds like we agree that, like, next season, I know we're, like, way ahead of the game and stuff, and, like, we're not even there yet, but they need to change things up a lot for season 16. It just, like, we need some people back. I think that's probably why they brought Cynthia in for an episode or however long she comes back at the end of this season. We got appearance by Kim Zolciak. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Kim Zolciak back next season, especially
on. So much material with the alums. I mean, you can't even make it up, the fact that all these women that are not on the show now have, I mean, the Portia Simon thing is such, so intriguing. People, I think, loved, I didn't really keep up with it that much, but I think people were loving the Portia spinoff. There's definitely a lot there with Portia. I mean, the Kim Zolciak stuff is just getting crazier. So Bravo's definitely going to want to capitalize on that. Kim is either on Atlanta or she's on the next Girls Trip, Girls Trip 6.
Oh yeah.
She's on something. We're going to be seeing her very, very soon in my prediction. But Atlanta, you know, we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Jersey, we have to talk about. That was a...
Jersey's not boring me.
Jersey always still, especially their reunions, they deliver.
They probably have the best reunions. Like, if I had to go through all the franchises and be like, what is consistently had the best reunions, I kind of feel like it's Jersey.
Yeah, me too. It's, yeah.
Let's start with the less bulky stuff. Let's wait for the Teresa and Melissa. Like, I thought it was so interesting that we could start with the Rachel and Danielle stuff, because they really just tried to move on from that. Andy was like, this storyline's stupid. You guys are not giving us anything. Yeah. Let it go. And I so agree, because I really liked seeing them as friends. And I feel like they both joined the show at the same time when there was like this war brewing between two sides, and they both each got pulled in opposite directions. And they like lost the ability to form an individual friendship outside of the Melissa Marge side and the Teresa Jennifer side. And so I kind of agreed with what everyone was saying, like the storyline's stupid. And also as a fan, like I would love to see that dynamic and a positive dynamic carry on next season, because I presume that Rachel and Danielle are sticking around because things are so repetitive. I think that the show likes the fresh blood. So I do think we're going to see both of them again. And I don't want to see them just ones on one side, ones on the other. I want to see more of their dynamic and more of them shuffling things up. Yeah.
Yeah. I like them. I think there's, I think they'll be back. Jersey rarely shakes things up. They like to keep, and I've heard Andy say that Jersey is doing really, really well. I mean, we've seen the ratings, the viewership really well. Like I said, it's getting average probably like 1 million live viewers a week. It's probably the strongest. It's either that or Beverly Hills is the strongest housewife.
I think it's probably number two.
Yeah.
It's probably number two at this point.
So it's doing well. So you don't want to change it too much. But yes, the fight between Rachel and Danielle was stupid. It carried on way too long. It's fine if they fought about it for one, maybe two episodes max, but we don't need to be talking about it all season long.
And you know, when Andy's telling you to get over it, they're probably like, oh crap, we want to keep our job. Let's be friends again. Like, you know, listening to the producer, the person who runs the ship over there.
Right.
Like, okay, let's get along. And then the other thing was them talking to Dolores about
Paulie
and that he's still married, which I think Margaret did mention like beforehand in like an after show or something. So I had saw that like on Twitter that was like common knowledge before Dolores said it during the reunion. But yeah, Paulie's still married. I'm calling it right now. It'll be season 14. Dolores is getting engaged next season. Call you right now. 100%. She's getting engaged next season.
I mean,
100%. She's getting engaged on season 14.
Sometimes I wonder if housewives just like plan this out, sort of. Like,
they love this kind of storyline.
Keep yourself on
like
the
they
show.
Love and engagement.
I'll get engaged next season. I'll get married the next season. It'll give me two more seasons. Like, but I love Dolores.
She speak up for once though? Like, she's so Switzerland.
Yeah, I do wish she would speak up. So I just realized the other day, like, she's obviously the voice of reason of the show, and I think she brings to the show what I miss about, and I'm not here to preach about Caroline Manzo, but I feel like Caroline is a good voice of reason on the show, and that's why I think I miss her so much. But the difference between the two is Caroline would speak up when someone was out of line and she would call them out. And that wasn't always Teresa. You know, she did it to Jacqueline. Dina. She did it to Danielle, and yes, some people saw that as like, oh, she was almost like a Heather Dubrow, where it's like
Godfather-esque.
You're above us. But I wish Dolores would kind of meet somewhere in the middle of that. She's a good voice of reason for the cast, but she's almost too Switzerland, where, like you said, she's not. I mean, she was even annoyed by the you know, when she turned to Jackie, or
how Melissa got on the show topic.
Jackie, I mean, Danielle.
Danielle, yeah. Jackie's not on the stage yet.
It's the blondes. When she turned to Danielle and she was like, this story is so old about like Melissa getting on the show. I wish she would have said that out loud to Teresa.
Say it to Teresa. Like, get your friends and you went to high school and you got the Italian connection. Yada, 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 yada. Say it out loud.
Yes.
Have you seen the after shows? Like, you know how they're all grouped together? Like the after shows that come out on YouTube. Teresa and Dolores are a pair.
Yeah,
and,
we're
like, Teresa says like... thing, and Dolores's eyes are like literally like going across the seat. Like her eyes are bulging of like some of the things that Teresa says. Like
yeah.
That's the moments where like, I feel like when Dolores first joined the show, her and Teresa like fought because Dolores hated Danielle. Like I wish we saw more of that because it is interesting how long they've known each other. It's just like, Jersey's just so divided right now that everyone's just like picking their team and like sticking with it, even though Dolores is definitely still the bridge because I feel like she has good relationships with the other side of the couch. Mm-hmm. But like, no one speaks up against their own people, kind of like no one speaks up against the couch that they're sitting on.
I know.
Listen, the Teresa and Melissa stuff, you got off the bat crazy. I mean, there's no coming back. Like, it's over. It has to be over with them. Like, it's, there's no,
to be honest, I mean, I don't, yes, we've seen them go at each other this hard before, but yeah, I don't think they're, I don't, I mean, they never liked each other. I think that was known.
No.
They hit it pretty okay the last few seasons. But yeah, I don't know. There's no, I'm just trying to think what to like dive into first. They said so much. You know, there was stuff. Go ahead.
I will say, I think the biggest thing from now versus then is like when they were fighting seasons 3, 4, 5, it was all like very new and fresh. And like Melissa and Joe were on the show and like Teresa like was losing everyone, didn't have allies. Like now, I mean, you have Teresa saying like, you're leaving the show. First of all, she's totally drunk with power because she's been on the show so long. And I think that the biggest flaw with Jersey, as much as it's one of my favorite franchises, and I think it's the same for you, definitely, I know it's up there for you, it has turned into one lead star, I guess, depending how you look at it. Like with Teresa, like she has become the face of the franchise in a way that I don't think any franchise really has that, except like maybe Kyle with Beverly Hills. Like Kyle still like gets along with everyone. She's very sole mediator. You know, she's more like to herself. Like
people don't call it the Kyle show. Like people are so like, yes, vocal about calling Jersey the Teresa show. And I get it.
Like
that they went on pause when she went to jail, you know, and stuff like that. And I get, you know, the storyline for the past 11, 12 seasons has been central on her family, her downfall of her friendships with Caroline and Jacqueline.
Everybody.
Everyone. And in the last, you know, 4 to 5 seasons, it's been like the Melissa team versus the Teresa team. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that is the flaw of the show, is like, you know, there's the debate. Can the show go on without Teresa? Can it? I do think that if Teresa were ever to go, or as close to it as ever, I think it's now. And I think, I don't know if it'll be like, I think if anything, it'll be like, Andy will have a talk with her and be like, hey, listen, just take a pause, take a beat. Like, let's give you a breather. Enjoy your married life. Like, you had a good closing, you had a wedding. Like, this is toxic for you. Maybe you should step away, or we think it's best. But I think he'll tell her, listen, we'll bring you back in a couple seasons, like you did with Tamra, like you did with supposedly with Dorinda. I think there would be a plan for her to come back, I think, but I think it would be a day when Melissa's not on the show anymore. I don't think they can coexist anymore. I don't really know.
They would do the show without both of them. And now I'm literally like, I could see them getting rid of both of them. I could see them just saying, we're over this war. You're both done. You kind of did them to yourselves. We're going to keep probably everybody else. It's mm-hmm. over. You're done, Teresa, and you're done, Melissa, and you're done, Joe, and you're done, too, Lily. Like, I've never thought that all this time watching the show, never been this close. I was talking, like, some, like, kind of casual fans, people I know that, like, watch the show, obviously aren't in depth with it as, like, you and I are, but just kind of interested in, like, taking people's pulse and stuff. And, like, I feel like the overall sentiment is, like, this has to end, that whole dynamic, and I feel like this is the closest it's ever been to, like, I could see Teresa being gone next season. I could see Melissa being gone next season. I could see that entire thing just getting wiped out. And being like, you're all done. And yeah. I wouldn't have said that 5 months ago. I wouldn't have said that as we were recapping the first episode of this new season, or even halfway through the season, or even at Ireland. But like, I really could see them doing that. I think this is one of the hardest decisions, not to be dramatic, that Bravo like has to figure out with Housewives, what to do about Jersey, because I really don't even know what you do. Like, you have to stop this cycle, the hamster wheel, from going with this stuff. But then it's, I think that fans are so crazy between Team Therese and Team Melissa that you might have to just knock them both out of the equation, right, to give everybody what they don't want or what they do want, you know? Then everybody loses and wins at the same time, so to speak.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I'm okay with that, by the way. I'm honestly good with them all going.
I think I would be okay with it. I just don't want them doing what they did to New York. I don't want a whole new
thing.
I like the connection between season and season. Like, keep Dolores. She has an interesting story going on. Everyone loves Frank.
They're keeping Jen Aiden. I think they're keeping Marge too.
Marge, Dolores, Jen Aiden. The rest are up for grabs. It's a toss-up between the rest of them. I could see them maybe giving Jen Fessler a full-time season to see how she does.
She'll be back in some capacity, I think.
She'll be back in some capacity. I think Jackie will be let go. I think Melissa and Teresa might both be let go. But I think if they do that, I almost wonder, is that the moment that they bring Caroline back? And would she do it without Teresa and Melissa? Maybe that would be what sways her, and then Bravo would have the money to pay her, but I don't know.
Yeah. And now there's that whole other layer, which obviously not the layer of the whole girls trip four thing, I think, has now deterred her from wanting to go back at all. Forget if Teresa's there or not. That's a whole other problem.
Right. So maybe not. Maybe they just move forward with who they have, add some new people to the mix, and see how it does.
I'm fascinated with what they're going to decide. Like, I can't wait for like the whatever article or the Instagram post to come out. It's, you know, it's going to be like a Variety article that comes out, like, this person's leaving. I'm so interested. Like, I think it's, I'm not trying to be dramatic. Like, I think this is like a really hard thing. I don't think that they know what to do. I mean, Andy has said like they're at a crossroads. Like, I genuinely think right now they like don't really know what to do.
I think so too. I think it's tough, and I could also see them keeping them both another year, but they would need to bring in, I don't know. It's tough. I'm excited.
There's such a stalemate right now between the two sides that like you can't keep the same cast next season because it's so, and now it's like how that whole side is accusing Louis of stuff. I'm very interested to see part two and three when Louis comes out, because there's some major accusations and like there's so much bad blood between even the men. That it's like you can't move with this group of friends. It's like, and we'll obviously get to Vanderpump, but like this dynamic between this group of people, like it can't thrive when there's so much dislike. It's just something's gonna change.
Like, I think for sure Teresa's gone, and the only reason I think that is I think Louis is gonna be her downfall. I think he's a liability at this point. Like, you can't have a private investigator call like looking into your castmates. You can't have, we don't know, you know, there's obviously gonna be allegations in the next two episodes about, you know, family members getting called and stuff like that. I don't know the extent of that, but it doesn't sound good. And I wonder if they'll make her a friend, like almost like they did with Vicky. Because that way Louis wouldn't really be on camera as much, and it would sort of, Teresa would still be in the mix. Maybe they'd cut Melissa, bump Teresa to a friend, and or keep Melissa and bump Teresa to a friend. I don't know if she would do that, but yeah.
I think Bravo like is really weary about Louis. That's just the vibe I'm getting between things that Andy has said and just like the edit, I guess. And I feel like they are petrified of firing the Gorgas and giving Teresa, by proxy, Louis, complete control over this franchise. I think that they're literally petrified. And you know, one thing about Andy and production is that they hate when someone's like, you're getting fired, this is my show. Teresa doing that is doing her own grade. They hate, and I was actually surprised that I saw this like on Twitter somewhere, that they chose to leave in Teresa saying like, oh, you're going, bye-bye. They put it in the trailer. They were hyping it up like clip after clip. Like, would they show that and then fire the Gorgas and all of Teresa's enemies, which they've already done already, and then let her stay? Like, that's really like, now it's okay, you're just gonna let her, like, you demoted Jackie after Jackie went against Teresa for four seasons straight. Like, how many times are you going to let, it's not even about Teresa, it's like any franchise, you can't let one person keep winning, because then it's like everyone just comes into battle and then just gets knocked out anyway. It's like, what's the point? And then you have the Jennifer and Danielle's, and I'm not saying that they're not genuinely friends with Teresa, then you have an incentive for people like them to join the show and to kiss Teresa's butt. You lose a whole dynamic of who's friends with who and who's not friendly with who by making a statement and saying, this is Teresa's show, and if you go against her, you're gone, even if you're her blood relative. So I think that that's a predicament that they're in.
I mean, wishful thinking on my part, and this is terrible, but I kind of hope they got Teresa and Jennifer.
You want Jennifer Aiden gone?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get rid of Jennifer.
Than Teresa.
Okay, I would rather them get rid of the Gorgas and the Judases and keep everyone else, except maybe Jackie. I know, like, I know you love Melissa and Joe, and I do too, but I just, I'm okay with them wiping out that whole thing. Because the problem is, if you get rid of one and you keep the other, there's going to be a war with, like, I'm just thinking about, like, the social media aspect of it all, which Bravo should not listen to what people are typing on their Twitters, because that's not even close to, you know, I mean, Twitter is, like, very divided and stuff, but that's not even what represents the normal fandom and the majority of the fandom of what people are saying on Twitter. I'm good with them knocking them both out. I really am.
The last thing I want to say, I know we're getting in this, but, like, I actually, now that I think about it, I actually think I could see them knocking Teresa and Melissa both out. Just give the show a breather, see what happens. Keeping Jennifer, because she's actually, I feel like her and Bill are on the verge of, like, something, some kind of.
They do not want to miss that. They don't want to.
They don't want to miss that. I think we're on the verge of a split. I don't wish a split on anyone, but I don't think
Of course not. And Jennifer's, we've talked to her. She's so lovely. She really is very nice.
Like, it's not personal. It's just like, I think that is coming. Hopefully not, but I could see it coming. I'm sure Rob was like, let's see what happens there. You know, Danielle's got the good storyline with her brother. They want to see how that plays out, probably, if there's more to it and whatnot. But Jersey's, by far one of my favorite franchises. I'm excited to see what happens with it, see what else happens in the reunion.
And we'll carry on these predictions and these combos as we get through the rest of the parts. But now let's move on to the other reunion, Vanderpump, which is also crazy. However, I will say, part two, boring. I thought it was a little boring. Did you?
Yeah, it wasn't as exciting as the first one. Did you watch the uncensored extended version?
I did, yes. And other than screaming the F word, the only big thing was that the question was proposed to Raquel, do you want to come back? And she said yes, but she did say, correct me if I'm wrong, I think she did say her family is not into her doing it again, right?
Yeah. And she basically said, like, she'd like to, but it's up in the air. It's right now or something like that. It was kind of vague, but
I knew they were going to do the format of I was watching with some people, and obviously you and I see the episodes early for screeners, so I was just like kind of saying to one friend before we turned it on, I was like, they're doing the Kathy Hillen, which is you bring out the person who's getting all the chatter about the end of part two and you leave the finale to them. I knew they were going to do that, and I get it from a television perspective. But this whole, and yes, the restraining order, but you could still edit around that and knock Sheena off at 9:25 during part two, you know? Like, I don't understand why they're trying to lead into this and not giving up enough time when, like, the whole scandal is about Raquel sleeping with her best friend's boyfriend. Like, that's so important. And why are we dragging this out? I knew part two was going to be the lull. I feel like every reunion part two is usually the lull. Even in Housewives too, because it's like we're wrapping up the craziness from part one and then we're leading into the big finale. They're going to do that with Jersey too and probably save Louis and stuff for that.
Louis will be the third part.
But I mean, it was still, you know, there were still some interesting moments. I thought the whole stuff with Sheena and the restraining order to me was the most fascinating, just her breaking down and talking about that, because, you know, this was still at the point where the restraining order hadn't been dismissed. I think it was dismissed a day or two after they filmed this at the end of March, so her emotions were still raw and stuff about all of that.
What do you think about the whole punch thing? Do you think she punched her?
Maybe.
I don't know, but.
And what's wrong with that?
The whole defense of the nail thing, like, I mean, you might not be able to make a fist, but you could still, like, do this and, like, hit her. It might not be hard, but, and I don't know. It's Tom's silence for so long was so weird when he, you know, Andy's like, Tom, what do you know? Did Sheena punch Raquel? Mm-hmm. And he just sat there in silence for like a straight minute. And everyone's like, why aren't you saying anything? And he's like, I feel caught, you know? And it's funny to hear Ariana basically being like, no, you're not friends with Sheena anymore. Don't worry about your relationship with her. I mean, she's very like in his face, like, you're not friends with this person. You're not going to be friends. I'm interested to see how that plays out next season. Like, will everyone stick completely on Ariana's side? Will she be able to control everyone's friendship with him? Who's friends with him? Who's not? You know, we already saw her cut off Tom Schwartz in the finale. You know, it's gonna cause a lot of headaches for production. Like, you can't just divide the cast and still think you can do a whole show together.
And Bravo has a lot of headaches going on. They have a lot to figure out.
They have a lot to figure out with Vanderpump, with Jersey. The other thing, before I get off topic, the other thing in the uncensored version was, I think, I didn't see this on the Bravo version, but James revealed he bought a house in the Valley.
Yes, and, that was definitely not on the
TV okay, version. And Allie moved in with him, but I think they already lived together. So she moved into his house, a three-bedroom ranch or bungalow-style house, which is awesome. Good for him. He's, you know, early 30s and already owns a house in
LA. Cashing those DJ checks.
And then Sheena revealed in the uncensored version that her and Brock did sleep in a bed with Raquel, because remember she said she would trust Raquel in a bed with Brock. So she revealed that they were in Vegas together and they all did sleep in a bed together, but Sheena was in the middle. And then
thank God.
Right. And then Andy asked Sheena if she ever talked to Brock about, like, was there ever anything inappropriate between him and Raquel privately? Because I guess that was rumored, like, you know, on the online and stuff, like, oh, I wonder if Raquel, like, you know, move, like, put the moves on Brock or anything like that. And Sheena said she did talk to him about it. She was very strategic. She was saying she didn't ask him, but because she never suspected anything happened. But she did say, did Raquel ever put you in a position where you felt uncomfortable? And he said no, and that he never even would allow a space for that to exist. Like, he never gave off any signs or whatever. He made sure he always, like, was, I don't know, just never, like, open to that. So it never happened.
Right.
And then obviously the thing you talked about in the uncensored version where Sandoval calls Ariana a motherfucker. And LVP.
Well, Lisa says, right? Yeah, she says. I don't really co-sign the whole LVP's defending them too much. I kind of appreciate sometimes when she's chiming in. Like, I James is getting a little too much for me during the reunion. I mean, he stormed on off and on 45 times like a kindergartner. Like, that's getting to be a little too much. I think she's annoyed with that too. And Andy, just from a production standpoint, like, please stop getting up and sitting down. It's just making this more difficult. Like, I think James and Lala are using this as a reckoning because they hate that side and they just want to go after them. I really, maybe this is incorrect, I could see Sheena being friends with them again next season with the Toms and Raquel. I don't know. I asked this to my friends that I was watching with, and I was like, if there's anyone that's going to be friends with them again, it is Sheena. Like, you can see, like, I don't think she feels like she belongs with the Lala, James, Katie group. Like, I think she's always said, like, she's like, those are my people. And now those people are bad people. So now I have to jump to that boat, because that's where my friend Ariana is. And that's where, like, the good, quote unquote, good people are. Let's be honest, none of these people are really that good of people. They've all cheated except Katie and Ariana.
And well, Ariana, the good news is that Sheena and Lala are close.
So they are. And they're like,
just this season. I mean, that just happened this season where they got extremely close
with their kids. So she's lucky. It's so cute. Their kids, like, always hang out. It's cute.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're lucky there. But as far as Sheena and Katie, I don't think they'll ever be true friends.
No.
And Sheena and Ariana, yes, they're close and they've been friends. I think they're good friends. I think so. We'll see. I think it could work out in her favor because she's friends with Lala and Ariana. But I could see her warming up to Sandoval. I don't know. You know what I find really weird about the whole thing in general is that Raquel, and I know people say this all the time online, is Raquel is showing no emotions whatsoever. Like, not only did she...
Nothing. There's nothing there.
But, like, where is the emotion for losing your friendship with Sheena? Where is the emotion from losing your friendship with Ariana? There is literally nothing. There's no tears. There's no, like she's, like, looking at a producer and she's like, it's funny, I'm seeing, like, different realizations watching it, but she has a huge smile on her face. Like, I would be devastated. She's
cracking up.
I'd be devastated. She's my best friends.
Hearing the point when Sheena's crying about how this has affected her daughter, Summer, like, Raquel's like, maybe I should have written Sheena an apology note. Is there a jokester in the trailer that we didn't see that was off camera? What the hell are you laughing about,
girl? I don't know.
What are you laughing about? Now, before we wrap up, I do think, because now part three, the next time we'll talk will be after part three.
Yes.
What do you think is this quote-unquote revelation? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the revelation comment, because this has gotten all kind of crazy, came from the Variety article, I believe, with Alex Baskin, the producer.
Yes.
And I think that the question was, why have you not started filming yet? Like, why are you not jumping right into it? And I think he said, we need everyone to see the reunion, which I completely agree with. I think that should be a rule for all house, for all Bravo shows, to start film after they have seen the reunion. And I think he said that there's a revelation that not everyone knows about, or something to that effect. Now, it's been said that it's Lisa knew the whole time. She debunked that on Twitter. I am going into next week's episode, part three, believing that I think that Raquel is going to say something in her one-on-one. They also teased to watch the last 5 minutes in that clip, in the teaser or whatever, right? They said, watch the last 5 minutes of the episode.
Yes.
I'm going to give my prediction that I think Raquel's going to say something in her one-on-one with Andy. And I think it's going to be, I don't really know.
I actually don't think Andy knows, because he did an interview.
Okay, that's interesting.
He was asked about it, and he was like confused, like what people were asking about. And then, so I think from that trailer, it shows that she reveals it in a confessional with a producer, not in a one. Okay.
So, yes.
So I don't think anyone knew at the time. I don't know. There's speculation about a pregnancy, about how far back this affair went.
I'm going to say, I'm locking my prediction right now. She does it in that like confessional when they set up the liquor next to them or whatever. And I'm going to say it started earlier than what she said. That's Eric's prediction.
That's mine too. But so anyway, everyone stick around for our interview with Brittany. We will talk more about Vanderpump Jersey next week. And
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
See you then. Welcome back, everyone, to the Pay Attention Please podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And we are super excited because we have none other than Vanderpump Rules alum, Brittany Cartwright. Welcome, Brittany.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're so excited. Obviously, we've missed you on the show, but you know, we want to start off by talking about an awesome new partnership you have with Cupshe, a brand that specializes in swimwear and fashion and stuff for all women. So tell us, how did this partnership come to be?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited about this partnership. I've always been a fan of Cupshe. Like you said, they have like sizes and suits for every single body type. And that is a big deal for me, as I have struggled with weight gain and weight loss like my entire life pretty much. So it just like meant a lot to me. And whenever they came to me about this collab, I was like so excited, ready to jump all in. And I was able to like go through and pick out bathing suits that I appreciated for things that I look for. Like after having a child, there's some insecurities about my own body that I still have. And I feel like so many other women out there can agree with that, like stretch marks and just different things like that, that you don't feel too confident in. But that's why I wanted to pick some bathing suits that made me feel confident, made me feel like I could wear them and not have to worry about anything. Like really sexy one pieces, not your granny's one pieces, like sexy. You know what I mean? And like high waisted stuff and stuff that can fit like my breast size. So there was just so many different things that this brand offers. And I really appreciated that. And I feel like so many women out there are going to appreciate that as well.
Yeah. Now this is the 8th birthday collection.
Yes.
And you've teamed up with Heather Ray El Moussa and Chanel. Is it Iman? How has that been?
Good lineup.
First off, I'm not gonna lie, I was very intimidated to do a whole photo shoot with them because they're like supermodels and, you know, Heather Ray is so little. But it was just like, it was so much fun. Chanel having her baby bump, like it was so beautiful to see. And like the swimsuits looked amazing on her. Like I was so jealous because I did not have that beautiful, like all belly bump. Like she just looked absolutely incredible. Heather just had a baby as well, like I think like 3 or 4 months old, like very young. And that can be so intimidating right after you have a baby to do like a swimwear photo shoot. So I just felt like we all just you know, we're so strong and like we just like all got together and we're so kind to each other. We're able to like talk about baby things and different fun things like that. And it was just a really fun time. And they're both so beautiful and so nice. So yeah. I had a really good time shooting with them.
Did you learn anything about body positivity, specifically with swimwear or working with them?
Yeah, because everybody just felt so good. Like it was just such a positive vibe while we were like shooting and everything that I just felt like it rubbed off on each other. We were laughing. We were having fun. We were talking to each other about like different motherhood type things. And, you know, it just felt really good because it can be so hard to pick swimwear and feel confident in swimwear, especially with like you know, like the paparazzi and like different kind of stuff like that can like really bring you down. Social media trolls. There's just so many got to worry about, but we're all being like, no, we are proud of our bodies and we look amazing. So it felt really good.
Yeah.
Has your perspective about swimwear or maybe just fashion in general changed since you became a mom?
Yeah. I mean, I still like my low cut shirts and stuff like that. Like I could be a mom and still feel sexy. And I think that's something that like drives me crazy is whenever people act like you can't like have a sexy moment or feel like, you know, good about yourself after you've had a child, like everything just has to completely change. I don't agree with that at all. I think as long as you feel good, go for it, you know? So yeah, it's been great.
Out of all the new styles of the collection, is there any that are your favorites or just in general, like what's your favorite swimsuit style?
Oh yeah. So my favorite one, it's like this gold metallic-y one piece. It has like a cute, like, drawstring situation going on here, but you just feel very secure and it helps like shape your body type, and I really appreciate that. I love that. I love being able to fit in the tops and the bottoms, and I love this hot pink one is probably my other favorite one because it's like a Barbie hot pink and I just love pink and I just think it's so good and such a good fun color for the summer. So those two are probably my favorites, but there's so many other ones that I love. I mean, the collection is huge and that gives so many people different options to choose from. And I think that's a big deal as well. The fact that they have so many options to choose from because everybody likes different things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brittany, what would your advice be to other women that are maybe unsure about the swimwear that would fit their specific body? What's your advice to kind of embrace that?
I just feel like you got to be yourself. I know it can be hard, but the more true to yourself that you are, the confidence is going to grow in that, and other people are going to see that about you, and that's really going to make you feel better as well. Because I'm not going to lie, for me it's been ever since having a baby, like my body still to this day isn't all the way back to where it was whenever I like first came on Vanderpump Rules. I mean, I was like stick thin. So that's never going to be like what I look like again, and that could be like hard for people to judge that. But I think like showing your true self and showing that you feel confident in it and like really just trying to put yourself out there, it really will like make you feel better, make your mental health better, make everything better. I swear, like it can change everything whenever you actually just stop listening to the other people and just like focus on what makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So that was stop listening to the haters and wear what makes you feel good.
That's good advice for anyone.
One way of saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you hoping overall that your fans take away from this new collaboration and partnership you're doing?
Just to feel confident and sexy in yourself. And like I was saying, don't let people like get you down. Like it's, you know, whatever feels best for you, whether you want to be really skinny, whether you want to have this or that, or like abs, or you don't care about that, or you know, there's just so many different body types out there. And like, I just feel like not all of us are ever going to be the supermodel little skinny bodies. Like that's never going to be me. And I just feel like there's so many other women out there who feel the pressure to look like that. And it's not realistic. So we should like lift each other up and be happy and be proud of what our bodies can do, because women's bodies are freaking amazing, no matter what shape or size. And that's something I've always been very like stood strong about, because I hate whenever people get so down, and I hate Instagram trolls like trying put people down for what they look like, or if they've gained weight, if they've lost too much weight. It's either you're too skinny or you're too fat. Like it's never like good for you for losing weight or good for you for being yourself. It's always just something, and you just got to do what makes you happy.
Do you feel like you've gotten better at dealing with the haters and the trolls on social media?
Oh yeah. Cause there was a long time where it would really, really affect me, and you just have to like look past that sometimes and be like, you know, I feel good. My body literally made a human being, and I feel like so incredible right now. So that's just what you have to keep thinking of, because I can be sensitive at times, not gonna lie. There still can be times whenever things get to me. It depends on if you're having a good day or a bad day, honestly. But yeah, I feel like I've gotten a lot better at that, because, you know, now I've lived in LA for 8 years, and LA is not like Kentucky. So
two different worlds,
like anywhere, I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you and your husband, Jax Taylor, have been doing sort of a rewatch of some Vanderpump Rules episodes. I just want to ask real quick, obviously, the finale was a huge, huge deal this week. Did you guys get a chance to watch it? And what was your reaction to Sandoval finally confirming the whole Miami girl thing?
Oh, yeah, it was. We actually, Jax and I went over to our friend Janet's house. Kristen Doty was there. We all watched it together. Kristen, like, made her appearance back on the show for a second with Ashes to Ashes thing.
That's
love so that.
But yeah, so we all went over there and we all watched it together, and then we watched Ariana and Watch What Happens Live. So yeah, it was just so crazy to see. And yeah, the Miami girl stuff being confirmed, like, Jack said it all along, so he knew it all along. Kristen said it all along, she knew it all along. But Jax was actually physically there in Vegas, so he kind of like knew a little bit more. So yeah, we expected it to, you know, come out, I guess. But I think that they were like, okay, they're finally admitting that it happened. I just hate that all this is at like Ariana's expense, because like she's going so much already.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said they weren't like fully committed at the time. So I'm glad she's like at least addressing all that and putting it behind. I mean, that was like 10 years ago. I wasn't even in the picture when this Miami girl thing happened. Like, I was here, which I talked on my own podcast. We had Kristen on next week, and we were like asking her about the Miami girl situation and how like it happened and how she got there and stuff, because I wasn't even around for that part yet. And I haven't watched all the Vanderpump Rules episodes since before I came on or anything. So it's just really interesting to see. And that whole thing is just kind of funny, because like Kristen bringing somebody, like, it's just a funny situation.
Oh, I know. I'm excited to hear your podcast episode. I want to hear all the deets on that. So, and what, you saw the reunion trailer, I'm sure. Are you excited to watch that too?
I mean, I'm excited because
nervous.
I'm nervous because they're my friends and like everything. But like, I'm also like, I know that Ariana's in such a better place now. Everybody's in such a better place right now than they were like when they filmed, and that's a big thing. You know, she seems so happy, and you know, she's like killing it, so that makes me happy. But it's gonna be interesting to see the three of them on the stage together
it might be traumatic for maybe Ariana to watch back, but we'll see. She's in a better place.
She's definitely in a better place, but who knows if she'll ever watch these episodes. I know there was episodes that when bad things happened to me, I never watched, even if production was like, you need to watch this because we're going to ask you questions at the reunion or blah, blah, blah. Like there were still that I was like, I can't watch that. Going to be like that, you know, I would. So.
For sure.
A lot of anxiety up.
Well, sometimes you want to just avoid it.
Fans
have very much been supporting you and Jax coming back. I know that's what something that Chris and I both would like to see as well. What's the details on that? Is that a
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Possibility, is that something you're open to? What does Jax feel about that?
We're definitely a lot more open to it now than we would have been. Like for instance, for Sheena's wedding, they had like said, would you guys care if we like filmed you guys at this time and blah, blah, blah. And we were like, no, we weren't, it like, wasn't ready for us yet. Like us having a break from reality TV was really good for our marriage, I think. Mm-hmm. And we were at the point where it would be okay. And we've kind of like gotten better. We've gotten into more things. We got our podcast going. We're kind of like getting back into flow of things. So if it's right for our family, we would definitely be open to it. We definitely are open to other things too. So we'll see.
Have you guys been approached? Can you say if you've been approached yet?
I mean,
maybe.
I mean, there's things that we're talking
talks.
About. Good. Yeah.
Well, we want to see you guys back.
Yeah, we just want to see you back. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. It would be fun. I mean, that was a huge part of my life and Jackson's life, especially for so long. There were some bad moments, but there was also so many amazing moments.
And
the wedding and our engagement and all that stuff was on the show as well. So I had to like remember that and like how much fun I had. There was definitely times where I would have FOMO, all my friends would be filming together and like me and Jax weren't there. And that's kind of like, that felt really weird at first. It was kind of hard for us at first, but we definitely needed that time off, I will say.
Yeah. Right. Well, and now your husband's validated and the things he said.
He's definitely feeling better, but also he's learned so much from his past and he's grown so much from like all of that. So he's still Jax Taylor. He's still his moments. Yeah. He's still good TV, but definitely grown up a lot and changed a lot. So as long as you grow from your mistakes, I think that's all that really matters.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully Tom and Raquel can do that the same.
I mean, I would hope that they would do that too, but right. I mean, I don't know. This all came out of left field. Like I never saw this happening. So
it's been a bombshell. Brittany, before we wrap up, what can you tell us about the podcast that you and Jax have going on? I know you guys have been promoting it a lot. What can you say about how that's going so far?
It's been amazing. It's called When Reality Hits with Jax and Brittany. We're under Podcast One. So it's been such a cool experience. We have so much fun going in. We'd love to be able to talk about whatever we want to talk about. People can kind of see more of our like everyday life and how we interact with each other and stuff like that. And we had Kristen coming on this next episode and then next week we'll have Sheena on. So we're starting to have our first couple guests come on. Just been me and Jack so far, but it's been really fun. Yeah. I mean, you guys know doing podcasts is so fun, right?
Yeah. I thought that Jax and Kristen, wasn't somebody blocked by somebody?
Oh yeah, Jax blocks Kristen like all the time.
And then she's coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, they unblocked each other at the finale when we watched it at the finale. Kristen literally grabbed his phone. Kristen's been at my house like 5 times and she's been blocked by Jax the whole time.
This is why we need all three of you back on TV. All three of you.
I agree.
I actually really want to ask really quick, are you guys have any plans for baby number two, or are you just enjoying your son, the little preview?
Thank you. I mean, we've been super open about it. We talk about it a lot. We definitely want to have more kids. I've always said three. Jax is like saying two. We'll see after the next one. But yeah, after this summer, I'd love to start trying again. Oh, so cross.
Good luck. And tell us, when does the new Cup She line come out?
Oh, crap.
It's June 5th, right? June 5th, 2023.
Sorry, yeah. I know it, but I don't have it pulled up right now. Yeah, June 5th. So, I'm super excited about that. It's been so much fun, and she's going to be great. I know people are
so excited. Thank you so much for
all on Instagram.
Yeah, we want to see the photos. And
we're going to be all out there in our sexy mama bodies and feeling great. So I can't wait.
And then you'll inspire a lot of women. So,
thank you. That's what we want. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for stopping by. And we look forward to chatting again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, bye.